In 1998, Snoop Dogg released his third album. The game is to be sold, not to be told. And I remember seeing that ridiculously blinged out album cover and thinking to myself, what does that mean? Why can't you just tell me the game? Why do I have to buy it? I've always loved hip hop. And as a youngster, I soaked in as much of it as I could, reading the lyrics and jumping on internet forums to share my thoughts and immerse myself with those of other aficionados. Those early years made me realize how amazing writers and hip-hop artists were. I knew then that if I wanted to explore my talents as a writer, it needed to be through rap. So I spent the first years of adulthood writing my own hip-hop songs, giving myself the name Poet, to make myself sound smarter, classier, and more acceptable. As the journey of sharing my work with the world commenced, my written words began to connect much more than any song I recorded. That's when I began to flirt with the idea of becoming a writer. Well, a real writer. I dreamed of the day I'd become a full-fledged writer. The type of writer who was published with a major publisher. The type of writer who would spend most of his time traveling the world, having promiscuous sex, and finding inspiration in cloud formations, and somehow interpreting all those experiences into words and Instagram captions that would be celebrated beyond my life. How romantic it would be to live the life of a real writer. Early morning writing sessions with a typewriter by the lake and perfectly developed ideas floating from my head onto the page. I would see a leaf fall from a tree and convert that moment into an epic chapter about change, expectations, and the circle of life. I told myself that if I ever got the opportunity to become a real writer, I would take the money the publishers gave me and find a quiet apartment in a quiet city in a quiet corner of the planet. And I would write my epic first and last novel. Then I'd go into hiding like J.D. Salinger, live off the royalties, and once in a while, reply to the letters from high school students who were forced to study my book for their English independent study projects. Instead, when I signed my contract with HarperCollins, I wrote the bulk of this book on my mother's dining table at home in Toronto. I walked around the same neighborhood I grew up in, taking familiar routes where the nostalgia fades and gentrification continues to thrive. I politely avoided my wonderful editor's recommendations to write an outline. Real writers don't need outlines, I thought. And I spent an entire summer free writing. I then spent the rest of the fall and winter rewriting from scratch, after failing to find a thread that joined all my summer jumbles together. Lesson 1. Write an outline. Being a full-time creative came with other unglamorous challenges. Poor posture and neglecting to do the most basic stretches flared up a pre-existing lower back injury. So sitting for more than an hour, whether at my dining room table or in a movie theater or on a private jet, resulted in pain for the rest of the day. Irony never seems to lose a sense of humor. Sitting down to write became more taxing on my body than my previous life as an elementary school teacher, where I stood all day in front of the class. I experienced profound creative moments during that writing process late at night, only to forget them in the morning. I began to keep a notebook to flesh out ideas when they struck, but I couldn't understand my own chicken scratch when it was time to revisit. Yeah, the glorious life of a real writer continues to elude me. Or maybe I just overly romanticized it in my head. When those romantic ideas didn't match the life I had in front of me, I began feeling disappointed, betrayed, and generally crappy. In order to feel better, I had to let go of the expectations I had and open myself up to finding, discovering, and creating beauty in the circumstances in front of me and not the fantasies between my ears. And that's what this book is about. That's probably what the story of all of our lives is about. We all know the great moments fade quickly and the bad moments seem to last forever. We promise ourselves that hitting that next milestone will make us feel better, but after a few days, we're off chasing the next high. We're always waiting for that day where everything we've struggled with, everything we've suffered for, everything that's ever left us feeling empty is finally magically fixed and we can live happily ever after. We forget that this sparkly moment in our fantasies always has a day after, which presents us with new challenges and problems all over again. It's a cycle we don't want to acknowledge, and one that leaves us feeling either lost and hopeless, or numb and unmotivated.